and good morning to you, Lord. So historically and currently, there's a lot of discussion about the Ten Commandments and what they really mean. Oh, is that, what does it mean to honor your father who is violent, or love one another when they're, love your neighbor when they're trampling your tulips? What do they really mean? Well, the short answer is that they mean what they mean, and we're to live by them and not to try and fit our lifestyle to what we think they're saying. So I've been considering doing a summer series that would kind of be a little bit different than me just standing up here. And what I came up with, you might have guessed there was a hint, was to do a discussion slash sermon about how the commandments, how to live the commandments, living into the commandments, how to experience them as reflected in the lectionary gospels. A daunting task, maybe, but I was so sure that when I went to the lectionary that it was just going to be, that one goes with the first commandment, that one goes, well, guess what? It didn't work out that way. So today, they don't exactly line up, but if we study and think about what it is that Jesus is saying, we can find cause and case for it being related to the first commandment. So we'll do one commandment a week. Now, this is not going to be a time of academic study or focus or, oh, well, one translation says this and another translation says that. Or, well, that was then, this is now. We're not going to look at contextual circumstances. There are lots of resources that explore these questions, and if you need or are interested in finding some, I can certainly point you in the right direction. Jesus did not come to change the commandments. He came to fulfill them. And we can't follow Jesus without living into that fulfillment. Just a little FYI, I've been wanting to say this for a while. The word Christ, we say Jesus Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name, oddly enough. Jesus, when we refer to Jesus, we should be referring to him as Jesus the Christ. Messiah is what he is called. It's a translation from a Hebrew word, which I was going to tell you, but I've forgotten. So when you just think about it, I don't care if we say Jesus Christ, but that's just a little bit of trivia. You can save that, Richard. So like I say, Jesus didn't come to erase or end the commandments, but to fulfill them. And by fulfilling them, that doesn't mean that they're done, one and done. It means, this is the gospel according to Barbara, notice. It means that everything that Jesus says or does is somehow influenced by the law that God gave the people. Generally, the commandments are divided into two groups. There's several different choices about how to do that, depending on the church, but basically, the first group are the duties that we have towards God. Love God. No other gods, no idols. Don't take God's name in vain. And keep the Sabbath. And then the second group is duties towards humanity. How to love thy neighbor. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Protect the sanctity of human life. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. So let's take a look at the first commandment today. God tells us, you shall have no other gods. Then God spoke these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Can we see this commandment as freedom or as a restriction? If we flip the commandment over and read it less as a prohibition against doing the wrong thing and more as an opportunity to choose what's right, what would that look like? What is God inviting us to do or to value? What about if God just said, hey, put me first? I don't have an answer for why they are written the way they are, but I think that I have a tendency sometimes when I'm reading them to think in the negative, thou shalt not, rather than thou shalt. So I just thought that'd be kind of an interesting exercise to do. So what is God inviting us to do or value? When we put God first, we live under the promise of God's love and protection. When we give God all the distractions, all the troubles that we have, God takes them. And this frees us up to be disciples of Christ in the world. So what are the things that you might be slave to in your life, in our lives? And how can putting God first help us to throw off those things that enslave us? Take a minute. Can you think of a time when God released you from something? I'd like to say in all of this that if any time I ask a question and you think of an answer that you'd like to share, please do. Hopefully by the third or fourth commandment, you all feel like sharing a little bit. So it took me a while to, and several readings, to consider exactly what or how that the gospel might relate to the first commandment. Jesus says, let anyone with ears listen. So listen. Listen to what Jesus is saying, and then listen to the first commandment. And I ask the question, how does putting God first keep us firmly planted in fertile soil? How does putting God first make us the disciple who bears fruit and listens? Who listens to Jesus' teaching? I was going to say something, but I decided not to. So here we are. We've got these Ten Commandments, and they're all telling us what not to do in the first part, and then they are telling us what to do. So how do we take that into our lives? How do we post those Ten Commandments in our brain and in our heart? And every time we listen to the words of Jesus, we think, how does that relate to what it is God has called us to do? Can you think of anything yourselves besides keeping yourself planted in fertile ground that might demonstrate obedience to the first commandment? Again, you can answer to yourself, or if you have something to say, please feel free. So if you can't right off the bat hear something or recognize something that does demonstrate the connection, take time to wonder how you honor God and how you plant yourself firmly on fertile ground. Each day, I invite you to read in the next few weeks the Ten Commandments as part of your study time, as part of your prayer life. To the point where when you hear our Gospels, you can say, huh, and you can hear the commandment in the reading of the Gospel. I hope that this doesn't sound like too much. You probably have them memorized by the end of the summer, and possibly you already have them memorized. But reflecting on all of this, I can only say that there are indeed times when I think that the commandments aren't relevant anymore, and I have to stop dead in my tracks and say, oh no. They are very relevant, and you better listen. Anyone with ears should listen. Amen.